We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in you. We shall never surrender. We shall never surrender.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 59 of The Art of Surrender. MMA focused episodes. I'm joined by my co-host Aaron Morelli. My brother, how are you, mate?
Good. Yourself?
Not too bad.
How are you?
Not too bad. When you sent me that message this afternoon at like 5:30, and you're just like, "Are we on for the pod?" No, you said, "Can we do 5:30 or something like that?" And I was like, "Fuck, I'm just leaving." I was only just leaving work, and I had completely forgotten about this. And I went a little bit of like 10 minutes of like thinking to myself, like, "Fuck, should I reschedule?" Like, you know, just busy day, stressed out. And then I thought to myself, as soon as I sat down at the desk to like start, I was just like, nah, it's a privilege to have a chat to you. So I look forward to it.
Well, and we were trying to be more prepared, but like this for this one. But yeah, obviously yesterday it was not a fun day for me with my hurt my back. So
yeah, that's
I was
right.
Definitely
right.
In the mood to do a podcast, but for some reason today it's done a very quick turnaround, so it actually feels good.
So what happened to you? You said you hurt your back. So yeah, for the listeners, we were supposed to do it on the weekend, right? And we just kind of didn't get to it. And then over the weekend, you messaged me and said you were the reason you hadn't touched base is because you hurt your back. And I didn't know what to make of it. What's the story?
Just the gym I've been going to, doing some sort of good hard workouts, and then there's just some of the movements, I think, with the sort of deadlift-based movements, sort of tweaked my back. I think I have a bit of a sort of deficiency, maybe with my back. Like, I've heard it a few times, so it recovers very fast. But I think I need to build some strength.
Yeah.
There, but luckily, every single time, like,
some deficiency.
Whatever the word is
for the listeners who know nothing about Aaron Morelli. This man is a fucking athlete. I'll tell you that much. He's got some deficiencies in his lower back.
it is, mate.
Is it from swimming? Is it just something that kind of...
No. It's just, I think, you know, everyone has, I suppose, something that maybe isn't the strongest on their body. And I think, yeah, just lower back. Like, I've just noticed as I do more sort of lower back exercises or like deadlifts and different movements like that. Yeah, I don't know. I've heard it a few times, so I'll definitely work on strengthening it up. But lucky the missus is a physio, so
yeah, you're lucky, mate.
That helps the cause.
Yeah. So you're that client. You're the last client of the night every night. You know, you're the one she hates the most, and then you're the only one who never pays her as well. I'm sure.
I'm a terrible patient as well because I just like once it's better, I'll just want to you know be back at it.
Yeah,
but I'm supposed to rest, but you know. It is what it is. That's I think what most people are. That's what I'm like. I just want to get back in there. So
yeah, maybe you just have to take the pedal off the gas a little bit when you get back on the mats, mate, instead of trying to kill everyone.
I don't think so. I think the gym's getting too good now. I don't think you can take the pedal off the gas, mate. Your foot off the gas, sorry. I think there are too many. The white belts are too good now. It's funny, like the white belts are what the blue belts were like 3 years ago at High Jiu-Jitsu. They're like just the level of the gym.
Yeah.
It's gone up so much. It's scary. You got to make sure you're in there to keep up with it all.
Johnny talks to me all the time. And he'll ask me like, what do you feel about the white belts now? How they're going? And I'm like, mate, they're real good. And he's just like... Because do you remember I was like one of the first iterations of his homegrown like white to blue belts? Like with the first kind of assessment of group of guys that came through to get their blue belt, I was in that. And the level that we were doing the test at compared to the level the white to blue belts now are doing it at is like a whole nother standard. Like it's way better. And it probably should be like that, right? Every time if you're a coach and you've been doing it for 3 years and it's 4 years and it's 5 years, surely every iteration of your black
belts. At the same time, there's a lot more color belts on the mats now to help right?
Sharing the
like
knowledge.
Like, no one, like, we all, as a white belt, like, I obviously good friends with Oscar, so I had a lot of help from him, and he was a purple belt when I started, which is crazy. And then Maddie, and the, you know, a few other, you know, yourself got to blue belt and a few others, but other than that, there wasn't that many. There was a lot of white belts. And now if you look around the gym, there is
so many,
a lot of blue belts that have just been through it. So that definitely helps elevate the gym and the level. But again, it's all that place. It's all about the culture.
Yeah. Yeah. But my point is when John asked me about it, and he always refers back to the first test that we were in, and I'm always just like, yes, John, I know we were shit. Okay. These blue belts are better than we were. Fuck off. No, it's good.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all part of the journey. I wouldn't change anything. I was happy that I was there when I was there.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's all good. Yeah. It's all a part of
the early days.
All a part of the story, bro. I love it all.
Now there's two gyms.
That's true. Sydney.
I don't think we've mentioned that in the MMA.
Have we talked?
Podcast?
I've talked about it on the podcast. I've talked about it on the podcast.
Probably
I've had
podcast.
Matt on and John on. I need to do another one with John to talk about it. But yeah, so we've opened up a second location, right, in Sydenham. That's gone good.
Yeah, right next to the station. So if you're in Sydenham and you're near Sydenham station, or you go to work that way or come back that way, very easy to get there. So no excuses if you haven't wanted to pick up jiu-jitsu because it's too hard to get to. There's no excuses anymore.
That's true.
Fire Jiu-Jitsu Sydenham and give it a crack. Make sure you let Johnny know that we sent you.
Wherever you're coming from, if you're in Sydney and you want to have a role, always welcome at both of our locations. Everybody knows that. All right, should we get, mate? Let's keep moving. I know we've sort of talked about everything. You're back. You'll be back, I should say.
Yes.
You're gonna be all right with your back. I'm glad that you're feeling all right. You're up to it, and I'm also in a good mood to talk to you, mate, because it's always a good time. So UFC 275 is this weekend. And as everybody knows, there's a couple of Australians on this, but namely two guests of the podcast, Jack Della and Josh Coolabauer. So I'm excited, mate, about UFC 275, mostly for those two fights, more than the main event and all that stuff. These two fights I'm excited about.
It's good to see the Australian talent up there, especially on the main card. It's not, obviously we have Volkanovski and Whittaker, but they've been there for a while. So it's good to see other names popping up, right? Because, you know, it's always like, you know, it's good to have the people dominating, but the next one's coming through. So it's good see them both up there.
Yeah, for sure, man. I don't know, where do we start on this? So I guess... Well, let's start with Josh, right? He's been on the podcast a bunch of times now. I met him in person for the first time the other weekend at Igor MMA. So I went out there. Obviously, when he was on the podcast previously, I was living in Perth. He was here in Sydney. We'd gone back and forth on Instagram a bunch of times, and then ended up doing a podcast and like just had a beer together, I think, on that first one. Talked for a couple of hours and had a good time. And then, yeah, it's just kind of gone from there. So we met at Igor MMA, also with his friend and training partner, Alan Philpott, who I've also been talking to a bit, like leading up to him coming on. And dude, great guys. Hadn't been to Igor MMA before. It's a nice gym. They have everything you need there. There's like a CrossFit setup at the kind of entrance. You got to walk through like a CrossFit strength and conditioning style gym.
Wow.
Out onto the mats. There's like a row of heavy bags, big mat space. They have a cage, I'd say it's a full-size cage, but it's a bit smaller than, you know, it's a standard one you'd find in a gym. They've got a cage in there, all the padding around it. We actually did the podcast sitting in the cage, which was pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah, man. So we just sat in the cage in a little corner spot. They turned the music down a little bit, but it was still pumping in the background if you listened to the episode.
you have to be careful with what you asked, mate. You're in the cage. So
if you asked
anything wasn't fair enough, you would have... ended up in trouble.
You know me, man. I'm a smart ass. As soon as I stepped in there, before they were stepping in, I was like, be careful, boys. This is my fucking cage, you know? I was talking a bit of shit to them.
You on one leg?
Yeah. One leg defenseless, just like praying these guys don't just fucking kick the shit out of me and throw me out of their gym. No, it was a good time. And then when I left, like knowing full well, Josh was like going, well, kind of both doing through Cape, going through weight. Well, Alan's not doing a full weight cut, but he's obviously got a fight coming up in 6 weeks, 8 weeks or something. So in July. So he's obviously watching what he eats too, but Josh has got starting to go through the full weight cut, has been dieting now for probably a couple of months. So I leave the gym and I know his favorite, I know just from talking to him that his favorite food that he craves or wants after his fights or after the weight cut, well, maybe not the weight cut, but after the fight is KFC. So, I went around to KFC around the corner and bought like this big, huge bag of, well, I was taking it back to the missus too, but like a heap of chicken. So I like started sending him photos of it.
You're going to be in trouble when he gets back.
that's the kind of bloke I am, you know, just got to rub it in. But anyway, I had a good time, man. So I'm excited. I'm super excited to see him fight. Obviously, I reckon I'm going to be not nervous, but my heart will be pounding when he walks out, because that's what it's been like lately, especially when Jack fought. I'd met Jack in Perth person a couple of times. So like I felt a little bit more like I knew him. But anyway, I'm excited to see this. Haven't really done much research on it. So I mean, I've watched the fights and stuff of his opponents, but I mean, I just want to see him win. I don't know what else to say. And I know the game plan, so I can't, you know, can't talk about it.
Yeah. Don't be leaking anything. We don't want his opponent Choi to hear anything.
Yep.
But
yeah.
I think,
English speaking language was with all three listeners of our podcast.
Yeah. Hey, it doesn't matter. Three is better than none. I think it's a good fair matchup. Looking at them both, they're both had wins and losses in the UFC. You know, obviously Bilbao winning his first UFC fight in May last year. So after a loss and a draw, so you know he's off on a run, and Choi is coming off a loss to Alex Caceres, which is a pretty no name within that division. So I suppose they're both, one's looking to get back on the winning train, and one's looking to sort of start that journey into the rankings. So I think it's a good fight. I don't think I have a choice here, but even if I did have a choice of who I was going to pick, of course I'm going to pick the Aussie, and I will take him by, I think he'll win a decision. I'm going to go Coulibal by decision.
Okay.
You can't give the prediction because you know the game plan.
Yeah, I do.
And you never know, mate.
I haven't even told you. You don't. So just anyway, I haven't even told Aaron.
Maybe you should communicate the complete opposite of the game plan that Choi listens and then he does the complete wrong thing.
Man, my mouth's just fucking my mouth is just shut. That's it. End of story. I ain't talking. So I was interested. So you mentioned Alex Caceres. I don't know. That's not a nothing loss, man. Alex Caceres is pretty good. And he's
nice. That's what I was saying. He's a well-known name within the division.
Right. My bad. I thought you said it was a nothing win.
No, he's been in the UFC since 2011. That's what I was saying. He's a name within the division. So, yeah. And when he fought, when Choi fought him, he was on a 4-fight win streak, and most notably, he had beaten Chase Hooper, who everyone knows. People were, you know, he was becoming a name. So, definitely. Like, he's not coming off a loss to a nobody. Is what I was saying. He's coming off a loss to a veteran of the UFC. So, that's what makes it such an interesting fight.
Yeah, for sure. And that's right. And I think the one fight I have seen of Choi previously that like I actually watched live, well, not live at the ring, but like watched it on TV was the Suman Mokhtarian fight, because he's another Sydney guy who fought in the UFC. And I watched that fight and he beat Suman by a unanimous decision. I think it was back and forth, and I mean, that was a few years ago now, so it's hard to, you know, think about how much they would have all improved now. You can't really, Choi would be different now. 2.5 years ago, that fight was. Fuck, in Busan and Korea. Welcome to the UFC, Sumin Mokhtarian. We're just going to send you to Korea for your first fight. Oh, crazy. Jesus.
I mean, I'm hoping here that, yeah, cool. But actually, I know it's gone with decision, but I'm hoping he can get a finish, because that you know, if you look at what Jack Della did in his last fight, it's the finishes that give you the shine and push you up the card, right?
Yeah,
like, obviously,
for sure,
there is the journey to the top of winning, but nothing puts you at the top like a solid knockout highlight reel sort of finish.
That's it, man, for sure. And so that's what Josh needs, right? If he wants to keep climbing the ladder, that's a reality. Just needs to go out there. Now that he's got a win, you're right, he just needs to go out there and get a finish, get another win, get a dominant performance, get a finish if he can, and then hopefully, like, the, you know, everything else follows, right? Followers, money, sponsorships, all that stuff.
And hopefully he just doesn't forget about us.
That's all right. Mate, you haven't, I know you have never have any expectations of anyone. That's like how you've got to be.
I'm only joking.
And I don't say that in like a bad, I know you're joking, and I don't say it in a bad way of not having expectations of people, but like no one owes us anything, right? Every time
we're lucky he comes and talks to our 3 followers.
Don't say that. We've got a few. We're good. But yeah, man, it's a privilege.
Self-aware.
It's a privilege to have conversations like this with people, and even yourself, when we just go back and forth and talk shit. Whether there was 3 followers, 3,000 followers, or 300 followers, I'd still do it. Because, like, 100%. Man, so much I get out of it when I'd like meet people, go places, all that stuff. It's all been an absolute privilege. Anyway, so Josh hopefully will get the win. And then we'll see what happens for him after that. Now,
of note as well, by the way, this was the Whitaker Vettori card
originally.
So that's Whitaker and Vettori now fighting in Paris. But yeah, this was the Whitaker Vettori card. So interesting that that would have been another Aussie on this card. So kind of would have been an all Aussie affair, and it would have probably, given the boxing event that we just had in Melbourne on the weekend, it would have been good to have potentially had this card here. But
that would have been good. Sorry, mate.
I was just saying, we could have got the tour, Whitaker, Adesanya, like Whitaker could fight Vettori, Adesanya could fight Kennedy. And we could have, what's his name? Volkanovski and Holloway.
Mate, throw
right here on home soil.
Look, we've got Josh Coolabau. We've got Jack Della. How about we throw on Tai Tuivasa and Tyson Pedro as well?
That's the crazy thing. Like, we could literally sell out the Etihad in Melbourne or ANZ Stadium or whatever it's called now, Accor Stadium, easily. No, we wouldn't even have to try and sell those tickets. Like, it wouldn't even have to try. If they thought the boxing event was big on the weekend, like, this would have, like, having the Australians on a card here, it just would absolutely blow it up. But anyway, maybe soon.
Well, next time they have a card in Australia, I think you'll find it will be at another level again. Hey, like, just the interest, the interest, but not even the interest from the Australians, but just the general. Like, I guess you could say the overall, if we looked at it like a stock market, the overall stock in the Australian fighters over the past year has gone up so much, including Adesanya and the Kiwis in that, including them with us, right? The Anzacs, I should say.
100%. I think that the thing is they're still waiting for all the COVID testing and stuff to die down, because there is that risk.
Yeah.
Right? We need that.
I want to see the Aussies have a fight card, because think about, forget the like COVID and shit, but just think like Tuivasa, like how much his stock has gone up, like incredibly, man. He might even be the hometown favorite, like the fans want to see in that, if he fights in Australia. Obviously, Adesanya, bigger than ever. Whitaker, still hugely popular. You've got guys like Della, whose like first fight in the UFC was like viral. You know, Josh coming into his fourth fight. Then there's, you know, there's so many, man. There's so many.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously two of us is fighting Garn, probably in France, Garn's hometown. But like, if he wins that fight, we don't know what's happening with Ngannou. So eventually they could do an interim shot. That has to be here. If Tuivasa does not fight for the title in Australia, because let's be honest, I didn't think Tuivasa would get to there at first. But he's really sort of just gone to that next level. He went to train at AKA. So that's the thing. Like, if he wins a world title and then does a shoey on the cage, and that's not in Australia and not in Sydney, that's just sad. Man. I'll never forgive Dana, and I'll watch Bellator. That's my one demand, is that guy. He's literally screams Australia. He walks out with the Aboriginal flag. He does all that stuff. It better be here, because there's no better place.
Mate, I'm with you. If he fought in Australia for a title, I would 100% fly to wherever that was, and I would watch that. Because I just want to see, man, he's just like, in every fight, he's got this under. We're like way off the podcast here now, but in every fight, he's got the that underdog kind of, because he doesn't really have the wrestling skills that some of the elite guys has, and it's kind of like you think he's just got to knock him out, and that's all he's got. And his last few fights, man, he's just been starching people, and it's just been all in these moments of like, you know, like it just happens.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, there is no, in MMA, you can't argue with finishes.
He's just captured the magic, right? He's captured that magic, and it's been like coming together. And his next fight's going to be huge, man. If he wins against Garn, title shot, Australia, let him headline, like, you know, just.
Yeah, he's the thing about him as well, he's natural. It's like McGregor, like that whole thing, we call it act or whatever, it's just natural to him. And two of us, the way he goes on, it's just natural. Like nothing's forced about what two of us is doing. He's just floating along doing what, being himself, and it's entertaining as hell. Like the shoey thing, like I don't think he's doing that for any reason. It's just him. He just likes doing it. So it's authentic. So anyway, I think we took a detour here, but the main thing here is we're here to support Aussie MMA. So
that's it. That's what the main message is. Now, if we keep moving on, right? Where are we?
Jack Della.
That's it. We're up to Jack Della. So another interesting fight. Talk me through from your perspective. That's what I'd like to hear, Aaron, because obviously I'm like all biased, right? Like I know him, met him a few times, had him on the podcast. I want to hear from your perspective what his kind of entrance through the Contender Series and into the UFC has been like.
I mean, it's crazy. He's just shot. Just that finish, obviously, that first fight, I remember just Twitter blowing up about it. But then just his journey, obviously, from Eternal MMA, which we've shouted out many times on here, the quality fighters that come from that organization in Australia, but then into the Contender Series, and then walks on to probably one of the biggest cards in a long time, in Ngannou versus Garn, and delivers that TKO, the French trick, which went absolutely bonkers all over Twitter on such an amazing card. And he's been rewarded in his, you know, second UFC fight. He's opening up the main card. And I mean, I don't think there is any better entrance into, you know, the UFC bar, you know, maybe, you know, there's obviously people like Conor and stuff, but again, like that, there's no better way to enter the UFC is to get a massive knockout and then end up on the main card. I mean,
huge opportunity, hey.
Massive. Especially opening the card. You know, if you can kick off the card with a massive bang, it just sets the tone. Mm. So I think he has a big opportunity to really set the tone for the night and potentially even steal the show early, because everyone's putting a lot of weight, probably not so much on the co-main event, but that strawweight fight, Ueno and Wei Li, everyone thinks that's going to be the big fight of the night. If he can deliver and steal the show, there'll be a lot of eyes watching this card. So no better opportunity.
Yeah, that's it, man.
No pressure.
And no pressure. What have you, mate? And how, like, his style is so good too. Like, he's aggressive. His boxing is so slick. The head movement, it's something of beauty, hey.
He's what Dana and every fan wants. He's all about finishes. If you look at his records, KO, TKO, TKO, submissions, KOs, like, there's no, other than if he's, funnily enough, his fight in the Contender Series, where, you know, you want to make that big mark. It's the only unanimous decision really here. Everything else is just finishing.
Yeah. And
if you know Dana White, you know the UFC, and you know what sells, it's finishes. So, I mean, that style is entertaining, and he's also winning. So, I mean, there's not much else he can do than what he's doing. He's doing everything he needs to do.
That's it. And so far everything's gone to plan, and like it's been a good story, man. Like, remember, I don't know if you recall from like the podcast, like I've talked about it on the podcast with you, and then even on the podcast with Jack, he started off with two losses in a row.
Yeah,
and got, I think, I don't know if one was a decision and one was a finish, or I can't remember. Like, I know he got TKO'd in one of them, and then he went on a 10 fight win streak. The 10th win was on Contender Series. He finished throughout that win streak. He finished like, I don't know, eight or nine, or I think he might've finished all, he finished everyone, right? Except for the fight in, you said it, except yes. for the Contender Series fight. 10, so 9 fight win streak, 10th fight was a decision, gets in the UFC. Yeah. Just, it's a good story, man. He's from Perth. So he's like a local, like where I'm from, where I grew up, where I was born. So like, it's just, fuck yeah, man. Let's go.
it's as I say, it's amazing. And that's why I think, again, that name Eternal has popped up several times. So I think it's great to have an organization like that here that is actually pumping people into the UFC and now into the main card.
Oh, man. And it's crazy. Speaking of Eternal, and I've got to say, like, they had a card last weekend.
Yeah, I saw.
Yeah, did you see Jack Becker broke his leg?
A bit. I literally wrote that down to mention that.
Did you?
Yeah, hopefully he recovers well. See, I saw it on his Instagram. He seems to take it well. And but unfortunately, I think that those sort of leg breaks is something we've seen a lot of in MMA in the last few years, with the whole leg checking and stuff like that. But yeah, hopefully a quick recovery. It won't be quick, but as quick as it can be. And hopefully... Yeah. Like it ends up healed.
Man, the sad thing about him, when the cage ban, I think, first got lifted in Perth, there was a fight card out here, and at the time, like years ago, he was like touted for to be the next UFC entrant from Perth.
Yeah,
this is Jack Becker I'm talking about, and he actually lost that fight. And then I think, and I don't know the full, like, you know, what he did after that and stuff, but he had a little bit of time off. And then when he ended up coming back in, like, I don't, like, he was training with Jack Della's coach at Scrappy MMA, and he's training with Rod Coster at his gym, all these things. And like, his career turned around and he set himself back up to like have a crack at the UFC or something like that. And he obviously won the Eternal title. I think he defended it once successfully. Was coming into the second defense, and it was kind of one of those fights, man. Like, think about Jack Della's got his fight like two weekends after, like, you know, all things go to plan. Jack Becker might have got a short notice call up, or maybe like would have been picked up into the UFC. If he won that fight, I feel like UFC was like, you know, like a really good chance that he was going to get a shot. Obviously, like, it's okay to lose the fight and it not go your way and you not get the opportunity. That's cool, but it's pretty heartbreaking to see someone like lose the opportunity like that. And who knows, like, if his recovery goes well and things are good and maybe he can go back and compete at the elite level, like, that's fingers crossed, man. But like, it's a pretty tough break.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on the damage that was done, other than just the bone. Hopefully the damage around it is minimal. And there's just that focus on that one opponent and he gets back healthy. But I think you can definitely get back in. If you look at even Connor, he's bouncing around normal again and stuff like that. So I think hopefully it's just an inconvenience and he gets back in there and eventually does get that call out. Because again, at the end of the day, the UFC is obviously looking at Eternal MMA.
Oh, so for sure.
Never know. He comes back, has a few wins, has a bit of a, you know, it works against you, but it can work for you as well. He has an interesting story. If he does come back and get a couple really good wins, maybe wins a title again, you never know. Who might come knocking? So they're always looking for talent. So all the best to him in his recovery.
That's it, mate. So we're moving on. Look, hey.
In terms of the prediction.
Yeah, no, let's keep going on the pod. The prediction, Jack Dale is gonna win. That's the prediction. I need to end this, man, for some reason, because I think I'm on my work computer, so logged into work Zoom, and so I need to buy a license. Yeah, so I'm gonna have to stop this. We're gonna come live again. I'll cut this out when I edit it.
Yeah,
all right, we'll have it back up and running. We'll do a final 30 minutes and then log.
Cool, sweet.
All good.
Yeah, man, I think Jack Dale will get this one done. I think he'll win in similar fashion and early. Let's go KO 3 minutes and 32 seconds.
Okay.
In the first round.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I'm very high. And my other prediction is that he will headline a UFC fight night next, because he will be that entertaining.
You think so?
Yeah, the trajectory is just I'm making bold predictions.
Well, I'm happy to see him headline a fight night next. I do note that Sean O'Malley, he obviously, he's got a heap of hype behind him, and he always kicks off the prelims in the pay-per-view cards. So maybe the UFC will keep him
potentially
in this spot even, and that's not a bad thing either.
Yeah, so it just depends. Where the card is, what the card is. Maybe not next fight, but I do think he'll be. Either way, he'll be on main cards somewhere.
What do you reckon
in the future?
What do you think's better for a fighter's stock? If it's, I guess that's a question, right? I'm not sure.
Dana always says that the best fight, and the fight they view as a just as important as the main card, or and better than the opening the main card, is the main fight on the prelims, because that is the main event of the free part of the night. So your casual fans that maybe just stumble across ESPN, that's what they're going to see, and that's what they're going to see for free. And there is a number of people out there that don't pay for the card and don't illegally stream, which, I mean, we all know people do, and they just watch that. So that's he does say that's a popular spot. But I think opening the main card is a really solid spot to be in.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know anyone in my life. I don't know anyone in my entire life who streams the fights.
Illegally?
Yeah, no, I know nothing about nothing, mate. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. That mirror behind you never looked at it, or
Hey man, I pay for them. I'm stupid enough to actually pay for them.
Yeah. So when we put this podcast up, you're going to put up your receipts for each UFC pay-per-view as well.
Yeah. All right. Correct? Let's have a little check out here. Let's have a little look-see and have a look how it goes, eh? What were we even talking about? Okay. Yeah. So where they are on the card, right? Like opening up the, finishing the prelims or opening up the main card is good, as is obviously being the main event. But I guess my specific question was, what do you think is better between being the main event in your own fight night card where you're the main event or opening up the prelims like a Sean O'Malley on a UFC pay-per-view?
Well, I suppose there's variables there, but I would say overall, if the pay-per-view card we're talking about has decent names on it,
mm-hmm.
then obviously opening up the pay-per-view, like if you're on a McGregor card, I mean, or anyone of the bigger names, of course. If you're on a weak pay-per-view, like a really weak pay-per-view, then maybe, comparing that to a strong fight night.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, but if I had to pick, I'd probably pick the opening, the main card, just because you really need to have a name to be headlining a main event card. Like if you don't, it can be a hard sell, because typically those main event cards are not the ones that people are, dropping everything they're doing on a Sunday, having the boys over or going to the pub for, right? Whereas yeah. that's typically what people are doing for pay-per-view cards. And you want as many people sitting in a pub, drinking beers, having lunch, watching yeah. the main card as possible, or sitting at home, sort of committed to watching the UFC that day. Because a lot of people, when they pay for a pay-per-view, especially, they want to watch the full pay-per-view.
Yeah, so. That's true. That's kind of true, man, because when I buy a fight card, which is like I said, I buy the fights all the time, right? So yeah. Truth is I will watch the prelims and the sometimes I watch every single fight. Other times I'll, if I don't have time, I'll just watch the prelims, the main yeah. the end of the prelims and the main card, or at least the full main card. But I'm happy to sit there if I don't have anything on and watch the whole card, man.
I'm 100%. I definitely, if I'm paying, I'm watching the full card. And if I have the time, I'm watching the full card. I do wish the UFC had a better package for the pay-per-views, where if you pay a one-off yearly fee, you get access to them. Like, I would 100% probably watch more of the pay-per-views, not going to the pub with mates or whatever, just even on my phone and stuff like that. If you could just pay a one-off fee, you get all the pay-per-views throughout the year.
Yeah.
Not sure. I know Fight Pass, they don't really offer to pay for each pay-per-view, but I think that would be something that I think would entice a lot of people, and I think it would solve some of their streaming problem. It wouldn't solve it completely, but it would solve some of it.
What's a good amount, mate? So if there's, let's say, how many pay-per-views is there a month, let's say? Is there 12, or do they squeeze in an extra and make it 13?
I don't know how many pay-per-views there are this year, but let's say, right, average 12, right? One a month.
Yep, and right? I know, because as I said, I do pay for them. They're $54.95.
Okay. Now, if you do also bypass, that's $9 a month, right? For Fight yep. Pass. If you have the full Fight, or you can get a yearly one for $95.
I'm dumb enough to pay monthly $9.99.
Okay. So you're throwing away a bit of money each year, but that's okay. You're a supporter of the UFC. So what is it? $55 for a pay-per-view?
Yeah, $55. $660 a year in pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And what was it? $10 a month, so $120. So to be a UFC fan, to pay for the Fight Pass subscription and to buy every pay-per-view if there's 12, you're looking at, what is that, $780 a year to be a fan.
And if you're someone like me, like yourself, that watches multiple sports, you then need KO or other streaming services, stuff like that, then you start getting quite expensive, right? So I don't know what the price would be that would, you know, and then it's a business, they're going to turn a profit.
What about, so you're paying, if it's, anyway, man, it works out to be about $65 a month to commit to every pay-per-view. But what if someone said to you, would you pay $50 a month and you get the pay-per-views for free when they come, would you pay it?
$50 a month?
Yeah. So you're saving yourself, over across a year, you're saving yourself $180.
See, no, I think to lock someone in for 12 pay-per-views, it's going to have to be cheaper than that. Like, I think if you say, all right, let's say $400 a year for everything, that's when you start enticing.
So it's like almost like half price. It's like half, you get it for half price if you pay up front.
Yeah, but again, they're trying to solve a streaming problem.
Mm.
And a lot of the streaming problem comes from the price of it. And then there's even people, like when Dana gets in battles about the streaming issue, people comment, well, you're not giving it to the fighters, so I might as well stream it. So that's the thing. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. There's a whole, it's still a growing sport. There's a whole lot of issues, but I do think like it's just a model that would definitely end up with more eyes on the sport if it was a little bit easier to access, you know, because I mean, it's not like even me, it's not like can't afford it. It's just like you got to, if you have access to that pay-per-view, you buy it, you need to watch it, you need to sit down, like you spent that money. Doesn't matter how much money you earn, no one likes to spend something and not get their money's worth.
Yeah.
Whereas I think if you pay up front and you have access to that pay-per-view, even if you don't watch it live, you're going to watch it. You're still going to get that viewership. You're still going to get that money and eyes on the sport. So I don't know. Maybe I'll go work in the UFC pricing department and products.
Mate, show them how to, yeah. Obviously, their business model is not working.
Yeah, it is. You just don't pay the fighters.
Yeah.
No, I'm just joking. That's a whole other conversation, but yeah. Shall we move on to the next one?
Yeah, mate. Yeah. No, it's all good. It's all good, bro.
Will we tear the UFC business model apart?
Yeah.
Podcast goes for five hours.
We'll be respectful at least to Dana. If we're going to go to the efforts of tearing him a new one, we'll prepare a SWOT analysis this week and we'll report back to the listeners next week.
When I went to Hawaii, Dana White was there, by the way. I was about 20 meters from his yacht. Just a little side note there.
His
small yacht.
He had a small yacht.
But he had the small yacht. Yeah. So I could have told him there.
Where are we up to? I'm totally.
We're up to Mr. Bontorin, who is an interesting fellow. He's versing Manuel Carp.
That's right.
Carpe. Yes. We were just talking before. Obviously, Bontorin has an interesting last four fights. I am very surprised he's still in the UFC, given the last four fights. But he lost to Ray Borg, Kaikara France. Kaikara France is not a, massive, it's not like it's a bad thing losing to him. He's going to be fighting for the interim title. But in that fight, he missed weight and then also tested positive for a drug. After that fight, he has a no contest against Matt Schnell where he missed weight and then he tested positive for a drug.
What's he testing? Is it steroids or is it like weed?
Hydrochlorothiazide.
Right. Probably something he's not supposed to have in his system.
Yeah. I'm gonna take it. It's a diuretic. Whatever you take that for. I'm not definitely not someone that's into many drugs. But yeah, whatever that is for. But at the end of the day, still had it in his system. Then he lost to Brendan Rovell, which again, not a massive, Brendan Rovell is a phenomenal fighter. But, I mean, that's three losses and a no contest where you missed weight and you tested positive. So I'm going to hazard a guess he needs to win this fight. Because yes. I'm just not quite sure how you are.
Well, yes. I mean, in the fight he had against Kaikara France, like maybe if the UFC wants to see like the potential in him, he almost submitted Kai and he showed a lot of danger. And obviously Kai did very well to survive, get out of it, stay calm, all that stuff, escape, and then knock him out. But like the guy was doing quite well up until that point.
Yeah.
And he almost did submit him. So like maybe there's just, he's got a lot of potential, hasn't gone his way. And we did talk about it a little bit before. Like even the first couple of losses he had in the UFC, one was a decision and a split decision, right? The first two losses. So who knows how those fights, how close they were to being, you know, like split decisions could go either way. And then a unanimous decision doesn't mean it's not like a close fight back and forth. Could have been exciting. I haven't seen it. So
yeah,
maybe it wasn't exciting.
But his opponent, Carpe, I haven't got the exact pronunciation, but he's, you know, coming off two wins. So, you know, and he entered the UFC on two losses after, you know, doing really well in Ryzen. So he's now on a bit of a roll. So it's an interesting matchup because you've got, you know, someone on, you know, two fight win streak, and then someone that's really been in the war the last four fights and probably doesn't have particular crazy confidence. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this goes. But I'm going to take Karp by KO in round two.
I'm going to back you on that, mate. I got nothing to add. I think that sounds quite good. Manuel Karp. What is it? Manuel Karp.
Yeah,
I'll go round two KO, and like, man, the flying knee punches finish, TK. Like, he's got a lot of finishing power, this guy, man. He's obviously got a lot of submissions and KO. So it looks like he's got a lot of potential. It'll be interesting to see how he moves on from here if he does get the win.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But you know, again, if he gets a finish, finishes are always good, and future's there.
So let's keep it going, mate. How are you feeling about these last three? Should we just the main three? Do you want to just
Well this next fight is the one that everyone is hanging on for. I can't believe it's been 2 years since their last fought. But obviously Zhang Weili versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk. If anyone remembers how Joanna Jędrzejczyk looked after this first fight.
Mm.
Her forehead was the size of another planet.
Damn. Joanna hasn't fought since then, man.
No. But that's, to be honest, that's a good thing. Like a fight like that. I mean, maybe not that long, but after a fight like that. And I will note COVID, she does live overseas. She does live in Poland. She spends a lot of time there, and she does train in America. But yeah, that probably had to do a little bit because she just got that fight in before COVID hit. So probably a little bit of COVID there. But also, I mean, if you saw her head and how many punches she took, she definitely needed to take a good break from that. But man, it's interesting her because she was so dominant. She was like, you know, came in, I remember the Gedalia days and the Ultimate Fighter. Then Karolina Kowalkiewicz came along and they were, you know, had fought before in kickboxing and she was the one, and then Andrade was going to knock her off. And then that fateful day in Madison Square Garden where Nama Yunes shocked the world and got the win. And then ever since then, to be honest, it's been very up and down. The one fight that I don't really count is the Shevchenko fight. She was clearly too small, and Shevchenko is clearly too big for her.
Yeah.
So I don't really count the Shevchenko fight, but I think this will be a great fight. Obviously, Zhang Weili also has two losses to Rose Namajunas. So I think they obviously have that common opponent. They've fought before. I actually am going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say Joanna is going to win. Mm. I think she's going to stay, fight much smarter, not go for the damage. And I actually think this fight may not be as exciting as the last one. I think Wei Li may land some big punches, but I do think Yuan is probably going to fight a little bit smarter, try and stay out of reach and just sort of point fight
yeah.
a little bit, much smarter. Because at the end of the day, she could take Wei Li's power. She was in that fight until the end. She lost, obviously, a split decision, not unanimous. Yeah. So she was in that fight and she took the power that Wei Li had. So there's no doubt she can win this fight by a decision, and I think she'll win a unanimous decision, probably 3-2.
Mate, that's pretty good analysis, I reckon. And another way that I've been looking at it, right? I'm going to go for Joanna, obviously. Well, I'm supporting Joanna regardless of win or lose, but I'm going to pick her to win as well and a decision. One way I'm looking at this, right? So Joanna, you mentioned she had that fight. It was March the 7th, 2020 when she lost to Zhang Wei Li. So was that like just over 2 years ago? Two years, 3 months or something like that. And she had like that massive lump on her face and things like that. And so, you know, Joanna hasn't fought since then. So let's say she's had a 2 year break from fighting. And in that time, Wang Li has fought twice and lost twice to Rose, as you mentioned, head kick KO and then a split decision. So what's worse for a fighter? Like, obviously they would have all rested up and they've kept training and they're trying to improve, but I'm trying to get an idea of like mindset, right? Like you have that fight like Joanna where you take the damage and then you have your face is like huge, but then you take 2 full years off and you're fresh, or you win that fight like, you know, Wang Li did. She won that fight against Joanna. Obviously, it was back and forth and she took damage too. Not as much, but she took damage. And then she had 2 more fights. And during those 2, got knocked out in one and then lost the other. Like, I know ring rust is a factor, but like, I don't know what's worse. If it's mindset, things like that.
Yeah, I think Zhang Wei Li can take a lot of confidence out of the last one, because it was a decision, a split decision. And again, like, one thing I'll highlight is since Joanna was champion, the division's like, there's no dominance in the division at all, because we had Andrade dump Rose on her head straight after Rose won the title, beat Joanna twice, and that's it. She's the next big thing. Then Andrade put a stop to that. And then Rose came back and won it back from there. So, like, it's just this division doesn't... Zhang Wei Li then beat Jessica Andrade for the title, and then Rose and Jessica Andrade ran it back. Then Wei Li looked like she was going to be the next big thing. And then Rose comes and head kicks her and then beats her again. Then you have... Now Rose has dropped the title to Esparza, who no one thought was going to be champion. So realistically, in this division, I don't really think losing is that big of a deal at the moment. So I think they'll all be confident because there's no dominant champion. So there's no one that can say you don't have a right to fight for the title. I do think if Joanna does win and does win well, there's a very good chance she ends up in fighting Esparza for the title, just because that last Rose Namajunas is not fighting for the title again because that fight was terrible. So
good shout, man. That's a great shout.
I just, if you look at this division, it's very inconsistent.
So Joanna has some sort of a win that's like, you know, I don't know if she steals the moment or gets a finish or has a dominant win or something. Yeah, they might even just, fuck man, that's a good shout. She might even get a quick turnaround fight against Carla.
We need, well, the thing is, that's the benefit of her being away for 2 years is we need someone else because, I mean, Andrade has been there now. We've done the Bailey versus Rose twice. Mm. We would have done Joanna versus Whaley twice. Rose versus Carla was boring. What else are you going to do? And at the end of the day, you like Joanna or not, she's entertaining. She brings the heat, and you know, she's partly responsible for people knowing Rose as she is today, you know, when she was doing the Lord's Prayer and all that stuff. So
part of her story, that, yeah.
That's my prediction, is Ioana ends up at the top, because again, if you look at the history of the division, no one has been as dominant as she did, as she was as champion. So she still is the great, probably the greatest. I don't understand why Rose and stuff called Rose the greatest, in terms of, obviously she beat Ioana, but it depends what is the greatest. Is it holding the title, or is it beating one of the greatest? Because by that thing, if you would you say, for example, Conor McGregor in featherweight history is better than Volkanovski or Holloway, because he beat Aldo when Aldo was unstoppable?
Yeah.
No, I'd probably say in terms of featherweight, Volkanovski and Holloway, maybe, you know, greater featherweights.
That maybe, 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 that. But it's maybe, but in terms of like, you know, what had like what I'm trying to, what I look back at, and like, I know this is just a fan thing, but is what, which moments are being captured that like Conor McGregor's title run all the way up to featherweight, and then going up again, and then winning it against Eddie Alvarez, is just, there's nothing.
Oh,
like
100%.
Nothing, yeah, like that, it. And that, I'm not saying he was the best fighter to ever live at that point in time. I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about like the story and the journey of it, and like the hype that went with that, and how big it really got. Like, it was insane, man.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, he didn't defend the title and stuff, because at the end of the day, he got so big that the opportunities, like, maybe it became so massive, right? So he's hard to put in that lump. But it just, to me, I'm just more comparing like
the reign.
What it. Is it the rain, or is it that you beat the person? Because it's just that's that battle when it comes to who's the best, right?
It's a complex one, because it's a changing of guards like through the era, right? Like McGregor and Holloway, in my mind, are the same kind of era with the UFC, where I think that Aldo is, his era is a little bit earlier. And then I think that Volkanovski's is kind of like after them, even though they've all fought and crossed paths, you know, but just like different generations, really, if that makes sense.
Oh,
but that, 100%. But that kind of like, that's what makes it all interesting though. But yeah, I think to your point, man, about the rain, I think overall that's like kind of what matters the most. And I think that they've kind of like, their reign at featherweight has been better than McGregor's overall, but his is by far the most exciting. That climb up to that climb to that pinnacle of his career was just nothing else like it, man.
Yeah, 100%. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But yeah, that's my prediction. She gets the win over Bailey. There'll be some crazy moments still in the fight, but I think she will ultimately win and take on Esparza for the title.
Yeah. All righty.
Cool.
Appreciate that, mate. Now, look, let's make this next one quick. So Valentina Shevchenko is going to beat Talia Larson. Santos. And
I feel bad for her. I don't. I mean, it's an awesome opportunity, but at the end, but Nunes lost to Pena, and everyone thought that wasn't going to happen. So, again, we could be really,
imagine
everyone has the longer you go, the more of a chance there is you're going to lose, right? Oh, like, dude, that's just the 100%. Way it goes.
And this chick's only lost, let's. I was just going to gloss past this, man, because we got to kind of like got a little bit.
She's
left
lost
to
one
go,
fight,
but she's lost one fight, right? She's got a lot of KOs, and a couple of submissions. That last one against Joanne Woods, submission, rear naked choke. Imagine if she goes out there and takes Valentina's back and strangles her, man. Uncle Dana will be furious.
let's talk. One of the biggest things that happened to GSP was he lost to Sarah, and he came off the Ultimate Fighter, right? So he lost to Sarah and then came back and dominated him and was a bigger star than ever. So, you know, there's definitely a chance that it makes her a bigger star, but let's just round this off. I'm going to go Shevchenko via annihilation in around three. I think she'll just wear on her to the point, and then, like typical, to the point where she quits.
Yeah. Okay.
Not quits, but you get my point.
I'll go Valentina. I'll go round four. Actually, you know what? Let me give me a second. Let me have a little look at this. Talia's interested to see how she goes. So a lot of her fights round ones, a couple of round twos, and a few round threes. But these are all wins, remember? Yeah. I'm gonna go round four and say she hangs in there tough enough. She can do it in the first three, but she gets to deep waters and gets overrun. I'll go round four TKO. Win by Shevchenko. Put that in the history books, mate. Now, all right, let's go on to the main event and then wrap it up. I think we've got on the timer, we've got 8.5 minutes. And then on the next episode that we get back together, I'll make sure I'm onto this.
Good. In terms of this one, I think while it's been fun for Glover winning the title at 42, finally, beating Jan, our last fight, I think unfortunately he's probably run into one of the hottest prospects in the UFC at the moment in Jiří. I don't know, have you pronounced his name before?
Jiří Prochazka.
Yeah, Prochazka. That's Prochazka. I always struggle with some of these names, but yeah, Prochazka. I've always just said Jiří, but yeah, he's been on a tear since pretty much from Ryzen right up to UFC now. Oh no, he's only had two UFC fights.
Jesus.
And he beat Volkanovski Ozdemir, and Dominic Reyes, both two people that were very, very prominent contenders in this division not long ago. But anyone that doesn't know, Dominic Reyes, in some people's eyes, beat John Jones. It was probably one of the fights where I looked and went, wow, John Jones could be in trouble here. So in terms of the ref's decision. So to beat Dominic Reyes with that beautiful spinning elbow after he had him wobbled, he's just an animal. I think he's going to get the win in late round one, about 4 minutes in. I think he's going to get it by... I'm going to go TKO. I think it'll be sort of ground and pound.
Okay.
To finish him off.
I'm going to go the other way, mate.
Oof.
I'm going to say, and no, I'm not going to say, this is just what I think is going to happen. I reckon Glover Teixeira, with all the experience and everything that he's gone through and where he's at, I feel like he's going to keep his light. He's going to stay calm through the influx of pressure early on from Jiří. And I reckon as the fight goes on and some of his techniques slow a little bit, I reckon over the course of four or five rounds, he's going to tire Jiří out and then pressure him. And then when he gets to the fight to the floor, his top pressure is going to be too much. He's going to end up making him, he's going to struggle and then he's going to get drowned. And he loses to a rear naked choke and Glover Teixeira maintains the title. It's RMC. I'll go like round three, round four, rear naked choke.
Yeah, I think that's fair of note in this fight. Reap the massive reach advantage to Prochazka with 80 to 76. So that's going to help when it comes to striking. As well. So it's going to be interesting to see if Glover can sort of close that distance and get out of the way of that length, because leg length as well, leg reach has got a significant advantage. So I did look at that in terms of the takedowns and stuff like that, because obviously entering, there's going to be quite some danger there. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. And then Jiří also, you know, averages 7 punches per minute or landed per minute. So as opposed to 3. So he's going to be more active with the hand. So be interesting to see if Glover can close that distance and get around that any sort of volume coming in.
Mate, it's a pretty tough ask. Like, I mean, at this point, Glover Teixeira, man, like he won the title.
That's the thing.
You know, like he's already achieved it. He probably didn't think he was going to get it. And now he's has the privilege to defend it once. And I mean, he's got it's a tough task to beat Jiří. And maybe he's the favorite and all that sort of stuff. And maybe I'm just like, I want to see Glover win. But like, I do think he has I feel like if he can get it to the ground and get control on the floor, I think his pressure is going to be enough, man.
100%.
The last few fights, it's been a problem for people. Everyone's getting strangled by his pressure. It's he's on a streak. Who knows? And what is he, 42, man? He's looking like a beast, man. Better than ever.
Yeah, if he can. Yeah, I mean, he's coming, Thiago Santos, Anthony Smith, Jan. If he can get this done, I mean, probably, unless John Jones comes back to the division, I mean, he's probably done it all. And I wouldn't be surprised if he wins to see him hanging up.
Mm.
I mean, why not? If he wins this fight, he beats the new up-and-comer who everyone thinks is the next big thing. There, go out on top.
Well, let's just have a little look-see at the UFC rankings for a second and have a look at who would be next, because Styles make fights, right? He's got Jan there. He's got Jan Błachowicz, potentially he could have a rematch against. That'd be a big fight. He might even think that he can get that again.
Yeah.
Alexander Rakic, I mean, he's injured. He's not coming back. Magomed Ankalaev. Yeah, see, I don't know if I want to take that fight.
Mate, you should, like, if he's close to hanging it up, which he obviously is at 42, again, no better way to...
how many is too many, right? Not only did you get the privilege of winning it, but you defended it. Like, don't get too selfish. Is that what you're saying?
No, just end on the high, because there's not many people that could... biggest example is imagine Connor, after he did the boxing thing, and he'd won the 2 world titles, he did the boxing thing, and he retired and went off and did his whiskey or whatever. His story would be, like, people have short-term memory, right?
Yeah.
They're always going to talk about the Khabib thing and he lost the Poirier or whatever. If he did that, then went off and did his business and became he's almost a billionaire, his story would be a little bit different, to be honest. Mm. Because people would just be like, wow, he dominated the UFC, fought Floyd Mayweather, and now he's dominating business. So, I don't know. I think sometimes he's not done yet. Apparently, he's going to fight again. But I just think finishing on top is always a good thing.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it, man. But the other thing is for Glover, right? Like, for the story's sake and that, like, that's all good. But he's come this far. He's won two fights now. Well, this might be his second fight, right? Getting the title, getting paid $1 million, $2 million. He's like, I've fought Jan Błachowicz already. I strangled him. Didn't he strangle him? How did he win that fight? Did he strangle
him? Yeah, no, he did. Yeah.
So he's like, potentially he's like, all right, maybe I can do it one more time. You know, I might get that one last one and then we'll hang it up, run it back, win that, hang it up. Hey man, speaking of hanging it up, the time is running out. We're going to have to call it here at that, eh?
Yeah.
So you got, thanks we've got again. Thanks again, mate. Thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll keep them coming to you, Aaron. We'll talk over the weekend and stuff. And then we'll sounds talk. Good. And then we'll go to UFC 267, Adesanya versus Jared Cannonier. That's the next one. And we'll do that shortly. Cheers, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye.